Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. We're on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. How's it going, Tags?
It's going good, dude. We already started the third week of the preseason, so that means we are that much closer to the starters being done with preseason, which means the injuries can just stop. And we can get to the regular season where if, you know, someone gets injured, we have to accept it. But accepting injuries in the preseason just sucks.
That would be nice, guys. Yeah, that would be really nice. Hey, by the way, if you guys want to join a listener league with me, I just came out with my annual free market powers league. You Tags, it's the really nerdy one.
You are such a nerd. You're a bigger nerd than I.
That combines like strategy, board games, DFS, and season long all in one. If you guys want to look it up, I'm not going to bore the other people with it who wouldn't like this kind of thing, but just Google free market powers league. It'll come up first, and it is really intense. It's the most fun I've ever had in a fantasy league, so I'm looking forward to joining you all. And we've also got a guest today. He's a great guest. It's Dalton Del Don of Yahoo Sports. He's on Twitter at his name, Dalton Del Don, and we're going to be talking some news with him and players who have been moving up and down our rankings over the past month. Dalton, thanks for taking the time to come on.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, guys, before we get into that news, you guys are absolutely going to love this. I used the Google Chrome extension for a draft the other day, and it was such a breeze to use. I didn't have to open a tab and go back and forth between the draft assistant to get pick suggestions and expert advice. Everything was right there in the draft room for me. It was like using the draft assistant right inside my draft room. If you're in an NFL.com, ESPN, or Yahoo League, our Chrome browser has some incredible features built in for you, like getting expert player suggestions directly within your draft room, having your personal cheat sheets viewable in that draft room, drafting directly from our draft assistant or via the Chrome extension. And plus, after your draft, it's going to give you some My Playbook advice like the waiver assistant on Yahoo and other sites when you're just surfing for the best players available in your league. It is absolutely awesome. And guys, some of these special features are only available to MVP and Hall of Fame users. And if you want the Hall of Fame package, we've got a special offer for you. It's a $65 value for 6 months. All you have to pay is $10. It's at fantasypros.com/offers. So guys, I mentioned we do have some news to talk about, and I'm not exactly sure if this qualifies as news, but we definitely need to talk about it. Darwin Thompson is getting goal line first team reps, and this kind of makes sense with, you know, Carlos Hyde moving down to third on the depth chart and probably getting cut at this point. Do you think that eventually, Dalton, he's going to steal this job from Damian Williams, or is it just going to kind of be standalone value with upside if anything happens?
So you're talking to someone who has Damian Williams ranked pretty aggressively, and I just can't pass him up in round twos and drafts. I just love, obviously, the system and whatnot. But I mean, clearly, the guy's never had 50 carries in a season, so that's obviously some risk there. And part of the reason I was on to Williams is I was just so anti-Carlos Hyde. I mean, just look at any,
sure.
any advanced metric you want. I'm a former Niner fan. I use my eyeballs. Either way, I mean, the guy just, he's actually a huge plus for me. I'm like, Carlos Hyde, he's the backup that I wanted most for my starting running back. So the fact that he's getting faded out already and Darwin Thompson quite clearly looks, you know, could be special. Yeah, has me a little hesitant here. Weird that they say they're using him at the goal line, you know, 5'8" or whatever. So yeah, this has me a little bit worried as someone who loves Damian Williams.
So Tex, what do you think about Darwin Thompson in the 11th round at this point?
Darwin Thompson is someone that I am more than willing to take that flyer on, and I actually think that he's a better bet than Damian Williams at this point. I'm not saying that Damian...
Well, at ADP, like, you're not saying he's a better fantasy football player, right? Just want to clarify.
Now, let's be clear about this. Bobby, we talked about this strategy 2 years ago when Kareem Hunt came into the NFL, and people were talking about him potentially taking over for Spencer Ware, and nothing was set in stone, and Spencer Ware had performed in the offense before, so everybody's like, well, why would they just move on from Spencer Ware? So we talked about it, because at the time, Spencer Ware was like a third or a fourth round pick, and then Kareem Hunt was moving up boards around the 10th round. And I said, I don't think it's a bad thing to use a pick on Spencer Ware and Kareem Hunt, and then basically you're guaranteed an RB1. I am not willing to take Damian Williams in the second round to find that out. But if he's in the third round, I think that's a logical thing where it's like, if I somehow end up with Damian Williams on my roster, which I really don't have much of him right now, if I do, I am going to make sure that I reach a little bit for Darwin Thompson just to make sure that I kind of gather that backfield.
Sure. I think that makes a lot of sense. How high are you willing to reach to get Darwin Thompson just to ensure that you have him if you're drafting Damian Williams, Dalton?
9th, 10th round, I guess. I mean, that's where you're reaching for your guys anyway. That's where I'm usually getting like an Anthony Miller or someone like that.
Seems pretty high to me. You might have to do it though. What do you think, Dalton?
Yeah, I was just in an NFFC draft 2 nights ago, and I did draft Damian Williams in the second round, and someone swooped Darwin Thompson with the second pick in round 9. So he's being very aggressively drafted. So it's funny, I ended up getting Ezekiel Elliott with the 6th pick, and this same drafter used their 8th and 9th round picks on Tony Pollard and Darwin Thompson. So like, wow. What a swoop master on me there. So those could be, so yeah, anyway, bottom line is Darwin Thompson is definitely moving up ADP, and rightfully so. I mean, in that, the reason I love Damian Williams is, yes, I like the athleticism, but the main back, in that Chiefs best offense in football is just so highly productive. They don't even have to be a total workload. I mean, they just, you know, out of the backfield as a receiver, and Andy Reid actually has been one of the coaches that does lean on his future back typically the most the last few years, but obviously that could change here.
You know, even if he just gets 275 touches, Damian Williams is going to be great in Andy Reid's offense. So, I mean, I understand the upside. There's just a couple safer guys that I like a little bit more at this point. Marlon Mack, Chris Carson, maybe even Sony Michel. So guys, two other pieces of news here, and we don't really need to get into these because we're probably not drafting Jordan Reed anymore, but he did suffer a concussion. Tags and I have talked about him. There's no point in drafting him anymore. Now it's Jimmy Graham. And then Ronald Jones is back at practice for the Bucs. I don't know if he's going to start. Who knows what's going on with his backfield, but whoever ends up playing is probably going to be pretty useful because it's Bruce Arians, right, Tags?
It's weird. I think Bruce Arians is searching for the guy that could eventually take that job, but I don't think he's found it. So I think Arians is like, you know, he's one of those guys that I've called a chameleon coach where he'll adjust to the scheme around him. And I know that some people like were worried about OJ Howard because Bruce Arians didn't target tight ends in Arizona. That doesn't translate because the talent is a lot different around it. So I just think instead of like a lot of those targets going to the running back position like they did in Arizona, I think he's going to use OJ Howard a lot more. I think that we're going to see Chris Godwin play that slot role like a Larry Fitzgerald, and then he's got Mike Evans on the perimeter. So if anything, this just makes me love OJ Howard that much more. And if you can get him at like the top of the 5th round, I'm all about it.
You know, it kind of concerns me too that Mike Evans is dealing with a little bit of an injury, and I'm not sure how extensive it is, but if it lingers into the season at all, OJ Howard could even further take off. Okay, now the final thing I want to talk about, everyone's asking, Cam Newton was seen in a boot, he strained his foot. You know, from what I'm hearing, Dalton, from doctors, if this had been regular season, Cam Newton would have kept playing. Cam Newton would play today if he needed to. They're just taking it carefully. But should you take it carefully on draft night and not draft him in the top, you know, 6-7 quarterbacks anymore?
First of all, that hit on Jordan Reed was vicious, man. Just yeah. kind
wasn't
of borderline criminal. Yeah, it was bad. That's, if you haven't seen it, check it out. That's
It was Holton Hill, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure it was, but it was rough. It was tough to watch, but especially with his history. And I'm with you guys on Godwin and Howard. I could not be higher on both of them. Cam Newton. So I have not moved him in my rankings personally overnight, waiting for the details. Sounds okay to me. I just love the upgraded weapons around him. Seems like the touch was back after that, you know, the shoulders right. So I have him ranked fairly aggressively as my QB7.
Yeah. Tex, what about you, man? I think Cam Newton has been a very good value. I've still got him as my QB5, but at this point, I'm not eager to take him. If he lasts until the 9th or 10th, awesome. I don't think he will, though.
Yeah, I have him down as QB10. I'm not taking Cam Newton in drafts. Like, I mean, I'm fine with him if he falls in your draft. But I mean, I was already concerned about Cam before this whole foot ankle injury or whatever they're calling it. Just because, like, I feel like at this stage in his career, he's over 30 years old. We're going to start to see him deteriorate as a rusher. He's going to lose some of that athleticism. We have Christian McCaffrey there. Like, he's been phenomenal in the role that he's playing. We have some of the best pass catchers. So he might inflate his passing numbers a little bit, but losing the rushing upside is more. It's almost like a running back losing targets and getting more carries. One is worth more than the other, and we wanted Cam for the rushing upside, not necessarily for him throwing 35 or 40 touchdowns, which is not going
to
happen.
Well, that's true, but how big of a drop-off is there going to be from year to year? Before he got hurt last year, he was QB4. Are you saying all of a sudden he's just going to drop a ton? It was by far the most efficient passing year of his career. He's improving as a passer.
Well, right. I mean, that part of that has to do with the offense. You know, having Norv Turner there for the first year, I think it changed things. And it's like people didn't know what to expect. They have Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore, and they were like newer to the offense. And it was just changing on the fly with that offense. But he still only threw for 3,300 yards. So it wasn't like a massive season. So if he dips down to like 350 rushing yards and a couple touchdowns, that's going to remove a lot of his upside. So, I mean, I'm not anti-Cam. I'm not saying like he's a terrible pick. I just don't think he has the upside that he once did.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to move on here and talk about players who have been moving up our draft boards and down our draft boards over the past month. Just to kind of catch everybody up, there's a lot of new listeners at this point who are doing their drafts here this weekend and the following week. So we're going to start at the running back position. And by the way, if you guys want to follow along, we're going to be talking a lot about ECR and ADP. ECR are expert consensus rankings. We've got over 100 analysts in the industry who fill out their rankings on fantasypros.com, and we use them for an accuracy competition among the analysts just to see who's the most accurate, so we can give you guys that information as well. But we mash all the rankings together and say this is, as a consensus, is what the industry thinks about the players. You can follow along at fantasypros.com/rankings, and then ADP, of course, is their average draft position. Again, we take a consensus from all over commissioner sites, all over the internet, and tell you what the consensus ADP is. So, Dalton, we're going to start at the running back position. We're going to go with two running backs who have moved up your board in the last month. Why don't you start us off with one?
Sure. Well, I don't think anyone has Nick Chubb higher than myself, so I would be remiss if I didn't defend myself here. The guy led an elusive rating last year, set a record in yards per carry after contact, was second behind only Saquon Barkley in 20 and 40 carry yard runs. Didn't even play until late October. His goal line percentage was way high once he took over. And then they traded Duke Johnson. So then I even moved him up even further atop my board. I mean, Kareem Hunt is a concern. I get it. But even though you compare their workout metrics, it's actually not even comparable. Nick Chubb just kills him. He's not even going to see the field until week 10. I could have question marks for the Saquon Barkley stack box, Kamara's workload, and on and on. So I love Nick Chubb. I was always high on him, and I moved him even higher when they got rid of Duke Johnson and opened up the targets. That was a big concern with him. That recent NFFC draft I talked to you guys about, I chose to have pick number 6 just because I thought that'd be the safest to get Nick Chubb. He went 4th overall, so the guy is definitely flying up draft boards, and I think rightfully so.
Man, okay, so you're moving him up. How high do you have him? Did you say you've got him atop your draft board?
Yeah, he's number 1 on my board, but at Yahoo we do half-point PPR, and honestly, in full PPR, I could see Barkley and McCaffrey are just so, that is safer. That I won't like go to bat for that, but after those two, and in half-point PPR, I'm comfortable with taking Nick Chubb as far as number 1 on my board, correct?
I like Chubb too. I've got him higher than ADP, which is running back 9. I've got him right there with ECR at running back 6. Tags, how high do you have him?
I have him as my number 5 running back. So I thought I was like one of the highest on Chubb. I actually took him number 7 overall in an industry league that I was in last weekend. So I am really high on Nick Chubb. The concern that some people have suggested to me, it's a realistic concern, but let me calm people down a little bit. So they're worried that once Kareem Hunt comes back, if it takes away some appeal to Nick Chubb. And I'm not going to sit here and be like completely like dumb to the fact that it is possible. And I do think that Nick Chubb's a better running back than Kareem Hunt. But here's the thing is like once he comes back, I think it's just going to take off some of the ceiling on Nick Chubb, where it's like the Browns should be a playoff contender this year, I would think. You know, I talked about their defense on last show, that they have so much talent there. And obviously in the offense, they're growing into that, you know, that offense. They have so many skill possession players too. So do they kind of take off some of Nick Chubb's load and say, hey, we're going to give Kareem Hunt, you know, 10 to 12 carries per game just to, you know, keep you fresh for the playoff run or that stretch run? That's my only concern with Nick Chubb. But if we're playing a 10-game season, like, he definitely would be, you know, he's in the conversation for the top four running backs, maybe top three. I love Nick Chubb. It's just that's the one thing that has me a little concerned. Is there anything you can say about that, Dalton, that might calm some people's nerves?
I understand the Hunt concern, but again, week 10, and this offense is just so good. Yes, I'm a believer in Nick Chubb, the player, but really it's Baker Mayfield, I think, is a super, superstar. I have him as my number three fantasy QB. And I think, I mean, Beckham is just such a difference maker. There's so few true difference makers at wide receivers.
They're not going to stack the box against Chubb with Beckham there.
Yeah, exactly. So even if he's splitting work in the end, which I doubt it was, but he's going to be leading the league in rushing when Hunt returns. But the touchdown upside is the key here. That's the thing. I mean, he's going to be the goal line monster in an offense that's going to be in the red zone frequently.
And again, even if Nick Chubb, you know, Kareem Hunt comes back and he's like the Mark Ingram in this offense, who's getting a lot of touches, there's still going to be enough touches for someone like Nick Chubb to be a top five fantasy running back. I love the upside here. I love the floor. I like Gurley a little bit better, but so I probably won't be getting many shares of Chubb, but I would love to start Gurley Chubb at the turn.
Yeah, and the thing is, a month ago, what's frustrating is you could get Chubb in third rounds in some drafts.
Right.
He is just, I mean, it's crazy the amount he's risen.
All right, Tags, we'll get into your first running back here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you guys about the best place to play best ball. It's Draft. Fantasy football fans, listen up. Do you want to join the biggest NFL season-long tournament ever? Of course you do. If you love fantasy football, and we know you do, then you need to enter the $3.5 million Best Ball Championship on Draft. That's right, $3.5 million in real money. It is freaking huge. Here's how best ball works, okay? It's season-long, but with no management. You just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players get automatically started, and you'll get the best score every week, guaranteed. No salary caps. You just play in a real live snake draft, just like the ones you play with your friends in a season-long league. And there's no better place to play than Draft. You can draft a team anytime you want. Leagues start every couple minutes. You can join one right now. I might be in there with you after I'm done recording this podcast. Just do a draft and you could be a millionaire 16 weeks later. It doesn't get any easier than that. Join me on Draft today by downloading the app anytime. Just search Draft in the app or Play Store and join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on draft.com. Whatever you want. For a limited time only, you can get a free entry into the Best Ball Championship when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code. It's FANTASYPROS, all one word. That's right, a free shot at $1 million just by using my promo code FANTASYPROS when you make your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App or Play Store or go to draft.com and come play free with promo code FANTASYPROS. All right, Tech, so what running back has moved up your board the most in the last month?
I mean, we already talked about Darwin Thompson, so I'm not going to talk about him because obviously he's flown up and Carlos Hyde has flipped. It's almost like they flip-flopped in my spots in my rankings. So Darwin Thompson is like a big mover. We already talked about that, so I'll move on to my next guy and just say it's Chris Carson. He was a guy that we talked about the offseason where we didn't know what the knee procedure he had done was. We didn't know if he'd be ready for the start of training camp, and we knew that Rashad Penny was coming in better shape. They got rid of Mike Davis. There was a lot of things, a lot of question marks, right? And Chris Carson has separated himself from the pack again. The beat reporters are saying it's not even close between Carson and Penny. They want Carson getting over 50 targets in this offense. I'm loving everything. You know, when you talk about the targets, that's just icing on the cake. This team averaged over 32 rushing attempts last year. And by the way, Bobby, there was breaking news as we started this show. David Moore suffered a severe injury. They're saying he might be out for the season.
That's a bummer, man.
That means that Jerron Brown is going to walk into the offense. So you have Jerron Brown, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf had a knee scope. It's like they need to go back to this run heavy offense. The running backs are going to be involved a lot. So Chris Carson has moved up my draft board quite a bit. And it's like one of those things where Dalton talked about nobody might be higher than Nick Chubb. I don't know if people are higher than me on Chris Carson. Like I have him as my number 12 running back, and I'm debating putting him as number 11 now.
What in the world? Tags, I remember 2 months ago, I had Chris Carson as my number 16 running back, and you and all the guests were just sitting here making fun of me. Now I've got him up at 14. You're higher than me?
I am all in on Chris Carson this year because basically I wanted to see if he was ready for camp, and now we're hearing that he's just far and away better than Rashad Penny, and Penny can have a role. That's fine. I think Penny can still offer like flex capability. You know, it could be like an Austin Eckler thing where he's getting 8 to 12 touches a week. That's plenty. He might even get more than that, but there's still a ton of work there for Carson. And I mean, Russell Wilson, that defense has taken a step back. They're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more, and that usually equals more fantasy points for the run game. So I'd be torn right now if you told me I had to choose between Leonard Fournette and Chris Carson.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say, I love Chris Carson. I would love to get him in the late third round, but I can't take him over Fournette. Because Chris Carson also has the knee concerns, and Leonard Fournette, as much as Chris Carson's going to touch the ball, he's not going to touch the ball as much as Fournette when Fournette is healthy. And then my guy that's moved up my board the most, I can't take Chris Carson over Marlon Mack. I had Marlon Mack down at about RB19, RB20 just a couple weeks ago. You remember that, guys. I had him listed as a player, a running back to avoid, but at this point, he's one of my favorite targets, and the reason why is that Indianapolis is using him on third downs. They faded Nyheim Hines at the end of the season. They've been using Mack in third downs during the preseason. And keep in mind, as in his rookie year, Mack was the third down back. He didn't run on early downs. That was Frank Gore. In college, Mack was a great pass catcher, and he's going to be useful in that role. I think he's going to be a true bell cow in one of the best offenses in the NFL behind the single best offensive line. I would love to get Marlon Mack in the third round.
Dalton, where are you at on Carson and Mack? Like, you know, like once those big, the top 10 running backs are gone, and by the way, I'm not including Joe Mixon in the top 10 running backs anymore.
Me either. I've got him 16.
Once those guys are gone, like what running backs are you looking at there? Do you like Carson? Do you like Mack?
All right. So Carson, I am the sucker who liked the upside of the unknown, the guy with the pedigree. I had Penny ranked higher earlier this summer, and sometimes you just have to believe the practice reports and all the gushing from the coaching staff. It's become overwhelming, as you guys said, with Carson. And here's the deal. So he has proven that he did recover from that knee surgery, and all these reports that they're going to throw to him more. Week one at home against the Bengals, I'm going to have Chris Carson as an RB1 on my rankings. I mean, he's in flat out borderline top 10 starter. So I can't argue with you guys there. I hope he can withstand the punishment because he's not super, like, you know, no breakaway speed. So he's always up there in the, while it's impressive, he's up there in the broken tackle metrics. It means he's, you know, taking a lot of physical contact, but he's fun to watch, great player in real life. And can't argue with you there. Marlon Mack is actually one on my down one, so we can save that one for later.
Okay, sounds good. Let's actually go right to that, okay? A running back that's moved down on your board. So you want to start with Marlon Mack?
Yeah, so I actually like the player quite a bit, and I had him ranked aggressively, so I like him. So that's, let's put this in perspective. I have him down because I originally had him ranked very aggressively, but I hope you're right about the pass thing. But my main concern here is just Andrew Luck. I really am concerned about his health, the way they treated it in the past. The fact it's been 3+ months. They haven't even diagnosed exactly what it is. And Marlon Mack was the running back that depended on game script more than any last year. He was fantastic when they had the lead. He was worthless when they were behind. So I moved, not Marlon Mack the player thing. I moved down T.Y. Hilton. I moved down Ebron. I'm worried about Andrew Luck's health. So that's where I sit with Mack.
I am too. I've moved Andrew Luck down to number 10, and I was tempted to move Mack down as a result because he was game script dependent, but if they're using him on third downs, I don't think that'll be the case. And you're not passing the ball 40 times a game with Jacoby Brissett. So if Andrew Luck's out, I think Marlon Mack gets even more carries early on in the game.
So Hines, then you got to dump down real low then.
Yeah, I have moved Hines down really low. I wouldn't even draft him at this point. And I love Nyheim Hines. When I watch his game film, I'm like, man, this guy could be a wide receiver. He's a stud out there, but apparently the Colts aren't going to use him that way.
I think that's coach talk. I really do. I think Hines is going to play. I think he has that role, and I think that maybe they want to involve Mack a little bit more, but that could be a result of like Paris Campbell not being ready and them not wanting to throw to Chester Rogers too much. Maybe it's that we don't want, you know, Devin Funchess to turn into a possession-style receiver. There's a lot of questions about that. I'm not like falling for that one just yet, but question for you guys. Like, I this show is like, it's such an important one for fantasy, like the listeners of the show, because drafts are happening this weekend. So I'm going to put hypotheticals out there throughout the show. You guys are on the clock in the third, fourth round, whatever you want to call it. Marlon Mack and Melvin Gordon are on the board. Which one are you taking?
I'm taking Gordon, man. I'm not letting Gordon slip into the third round. If I can get him in the late second, I'm doing it.
I will not take him in the second round at all. Like, I'm moving on from Melvin Gordon. He's like almost in a void. Dalton, where are you at for the tiebreaker?
Yeah, I'm taking Mack. I buried Gordon. He has no leverage. I'm avoiding him.
He's already been offered over $10 million per season.
I don't think that's good. I mean, it has to do with the guaranteed money, right? That's got to be what he's looking for, because if he gets $10 million a year guaranteed, like he'll play for that.
Yeah, I would understand that. But I mean, what are the chances that he plays? If he plays 14 games, and I'd put that at 70, 75% chance that happens. If he plays 14 games, he's a top 6 or 7 fantasy running back. We're getting him in the late third round in a lot of cases.
Yeah, you're talking to someone who had Le'Veon Bell multiple shares of early pick last year. And I just said in this F.
I understand that for sure. But isn't Melvin Gordon and his camp looking at this Bell situation and saying, like, it didn't work out for Bell. We can't possibly be that stupid.
Yeah, and I just drafted Elliott in that aforementioned league I talked about. So I'm playing with fire. I just had enough of his holdout situations, man. I don't know. I'm just tired of him. But yes, I mean, I don't know. It would make sense for him to return. And he obviously in that offense, he could be a monster even in 14 games. Sure.
I'll take Zeke in the first, Gurley in the second, Gordon in the third. Give me the risk, baby. I'm winning my championship if those guys are going.
You are nuts. You are absolutely nuts.
Bring it, baby.
No, because the thing is like, you know, I had to like literally go back on some things because like, you have to go think back to the idea that you don't need to take risk in the first or second round. Like, that's where you need your guaranteed studs, the guys that you know are going to be in your lineup every week. Granted, it could work out. It's like hitting the lottery, you know, for all those things to work out. And I just don't want to bet on that stuff to happen. Gurley is the one that, like, we at least know he's going to be on the field. So I have no issue with Gurley at the start of the second round, because that's where you can grab him there, like, in 95% of drafts. I don't think you need to grab him in the first round. Zeke, if he doesn't have a contract, I'm not drafting him in the first round because there's like so many safe options there, like a Nick Chubb. If Gordon's traded, it's like the worst case scenario for him because like he goes to a worse team, most likely, that doesn't need a running back. I can't draft Gordon right now.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I think a lot of people would imagine I'm just shooting from the hip here when I'm saying this, but you know what else is like the lottery tags? It's not just, you know, betting on guys like Zeke and Gurley and Gordon. Playing fantasy football is like playing the lottery. When you enter the draft in a 12-team league, you've got an 8% chance to win it. If I'm increasing my odds of winning the championship, that's what it's about. And I think that, you know, betting on Zeke and Todd Gurley, or Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon, I've got a 20% chance of both those guys playing. And if both of them play, I'm the championship favorite.
But I mean, Dalton, where are you at in this debate? Because the thing is, for me, the draft, you don't win your league in the draft. Like, that's like we should start there.
You can if you get two top five fantasy football running backs. You definitely
can. And you could do that maybe in the third round with Chris Carson. Like, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, I would take Chris Carson over Melvin Gordon every day of the week.
Melvin Gordon has five times the likelihood of being a top five running back than Chris Carson.
I would disagree. If he's on the field, he can't do anything.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like there's a 90% chance Melvin Gordon's going to hold out just because Le'Veon Bell did.
No, I mean,
we look at holdouts in the history of football. How many people have done what Le'Veon Bell did? One, and it failed miserably. No one else is going to do that again.
My answer is kind of boring, but it comes down to the specific situation. Like, I was willing to take Zeke 6th overall. I think Jerry pays him. Melvin Gordon, I buried. Like, whatever. He's an okay player, whatever. Like, I don't think the Chargers care if he sits out. And the problem with that situation is Eckler and Justin Jackson, I think, are just going to be a full-blown committee. I mean, Eckler had all these impressive under-the-hood stats until he became the full-time guy last year, and he really, really changed his performance level. So, and then at the same time, upside, I'm all about Damian Williams round two. I'm crazy. You know, that people would consider that crazy, and Nick Chubb so early. But I kind of buried Gurley, and I really think that injury is someone that he's just going to absolutely be on none of my team. So I guess my answer is I can kind of see both of your guys' points of view.
Dalton, I love when you come on the show because you've got such big opinions and you're not afraid to go outside the box. And I just love that, you know, when we recycle all of these experts throughout the industry, that they come on and give different perspective to all the people listening at home. We haven't heard the Chubb going one overall. We haven't heard anyone back up Damian Williams going in the second round. And you make them both make a little bit of sense. So I like it, Dalton. Thank you.
Sure thing, man. Yeah, I mean, I've been preaching this. I might as well just tell it on here. And it's interesting. You're against me with Gurley and Mac. And you know what? I hope I'm wrong, and I hope Gurley can stay healthy. But I have an awful lot of Daryl Henderson.
So are we sure that, I mean, at this point, I don't think Daryl Henderson's even the handcuff, it seems like. The reports out of LA is that, like, John Kelly has been outperforming him, and I'm not buying into that. I'm not going to, like, move John Kelly up my rankings or anything like that. But it seems like Malcolm Brown might be actually the backup to Gurley.
I like Daryl Henderson. He's ready on third downs, but this outside zone running scheme, apparently he hasn't really picked it up quite yet, and it may take some time. Now, he's really talented. I think he's more talented than Malcolm Brown, but I think if anything happens to Gurley in the preseason, I think Malcolm Brown in week one.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's more of a touchdown guy, and that's weird, though, because specifically Henderson was a monster in outside zone runs in college, so that's really, really odd.
I don't understand if it's like a different type of outside zone scheme or whatever, but those were all the reports are saying, and it kind of blew my mind, because I thought he was a perfect fit with the Rams because of the outside zone in college.
Yeah, they traded up to get him. Highest yards per carry ever in college. I'm still buying. I hope his draft stock's fallen.
All right, so Tags, your guy that moved down your board was Melvin Gordon. I'm going to go ahead and go with Kerryon Johnson. I've talked about this a little bit in the past. At first, I was hesitant to draft him because he's saying, I'm not a three-down back, and it's not a very good offense. And now the Lions are showing us he's not a three-down back because he's not playing on third downs in the preseason. I think that's why they drafted Ty Johnson. And they got rid of Theo Riddick because they believe in Ty Johnson. Now, maybe Kerryon does end up in that role at some point. But as of now, I don't see why I would draft him over somebody like Latavius Murray, who's going right into that Mark Ingram role. And Mark Ingram was a top 50 pick last year with a 4-game suspension. We're getting Kerryon Johnson 2 rounds earlier than that. I can't do it.
Yeah, Kerryon's my RB 18. Like, I don't know how people are investing so much. I've seen him go like as like the 13th running back off the board. Like, some people are reaching into the second round for him now, and I'm not there.
Like, that's his upside in this offense, right? It's a bad offense.
Yeah, it's not going to be a high scoring offense. It's not going to be a high flying offense. That's for sure.
By the way, you said you've seen some people going 13. He's ECR 13. That's his average ADP 14.
That's where he's at now.
Yes, dude. Isn't that nuts? Ugh. He was RB 19, 20 a couple weeks ago.
Dalton, could you talk us? Is there any logic to this that would explain this? Because, I mean, I mean, they did sign CJ Anderson for a reason. CJ Anderson's actually pretty good at football. I think people forget that. Like, is he a big guy? Sure.
Did you watch Kerryon Johnson last year?
I did. I liked Kerryon. I like the player. I hate the situation.
I think that's the argument, because he was pretty sick. But I hear you guys as far as environment and who's probably favorite first coach fired. And if they're not using in the preseason, I don't know what to make of the coach talk and then how they actually treat him in the preseason games. But they did get rid of Theo Riddick, and he certainly looked really good. I don't know, though. I have to say, though, I probably would end up in drafts before you two. I will say that.
Okay, guys, so I don't know if you guys know, but we've got this tool on Fantasy Pros. It's called Who Should I Draft? Okay, and you can just type in Kerryon Johnson face Chris Carson, because Kerryon Johnson right now is 13. 69% of the experts, 85 out of 124, are recommending Kerryon Johnson. Now, what you can do is you can sort by running back accuracy or overall accuracy and see what the top experts are thinking on them, and the top experts are at 50-50 instead of 69-31. So that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, I have them in the tier with Aaron Jones, Marlon Mack, Devonta Freeman, those guys, Damian Williams. Like, those are all guys in the same tier. So I think you can make an argument for any of them. But the reason I think I have Kerryon towards the bottom of that tier is just because of the team he plays on.
All right, guys, we'll keep it going here in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about Hooters. We already know that Hooters is the best place to watch football all season long. TVs everywhere, great wings, and of course, the Hooters girls. But Hooters has given you even more incentive to do it. They're giving you $200 in coupons that's going to get you through the entire regular NFL season, one for each week, and it comes with a free draft kit. Hooters is also offering a discounted food package at most locations called the MVP Bundle. It's available for just $39.99, a $75 retail cost, and that's going to give you 50 wings and 2 appetizers, again, for $39.99. Have your draft party with the Hooters girls, their world-famous wings, and ice-cold beer in a fun atmosphere. Let the good times roll and be the commissioner that makes things happen by reserving your draft party spot at Hooters today by going to fantasypros.com/Hooters. Again, that's fantasypros.com/Hooters. All right, let's circle back around and get one more running back that's been moving up your board, whether it's somebody earlier or somebody later, Dalton, and then we'll go wide receivers.
Okay, Tevin Coleman is, I'll say, this is more like a battle of attrition here. Jerick McKinnon has just been obviously just the knee injury, just what a disastrous signing. And I love Matt Breida. I know people do like him. I'm a 49ers fan. He's very, very fast, but I just have no faith in his ability to stay healthy. So Tevin Coleman, he's had his best seasons under Shanahan, and I know people are a little down on Jimmy G right now, but I still expect a lot of yards in that offense. And I think so Tevin Coleman is just kind of quietly, like, again, a battle of attrition of the guys in front of him, slowly been moving up my board.
So how high do you have him? I've got him at RB 26 right now. Tags, where do you have him?
RB 29.
RB 29. What about you, Dalton?
21 on my board.
21. Okay, so you've got him ahead of...
I'm guessing you'd take him ahead of, like, James White?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay, Josh Jacobs?
Jacobs is very close, actually. Right around Jacobs. Jacobs I have slightly ahead.
Okay. It's a very good situation for a running back. Kyle Shanahan, we've seen. And if anything happens to Matt Breida, as tends to always happen, yeah, he could be an absolute workhorse. This is an interesting call.
But think about it. Tevin Coleman, here's my issue with Tevin Coleman. I even think if something happens to Breida, I don't think Tevin Coleman's that guy that's going to get 20 touches a game. I don't think he's built to do that. And I think that's the reason he struggled in Atlanta last year. Atlanta had a really good offense. Like, Devonta Freeman has shown that you can perform that offense. Tevin Coleman's better in a change of pace role. And I'm not saying he's the change of pace back at all. I think that Shanahan wants him to net 12 to 14 touches per game, maybe 15 max. I don't think he's a guy that's getting more than that. I think that they do want to mix him and Breida.
So you're saying if something happens to Breida, Jeffrey Wilson's going to step in like Mostert did last year?
Yeah, like that's how Shanahan's going to operate it, for sure. I don't, like, Coleman just isn't very efficient when it comes to, like, carrying a load.
Maybe it's wrong, but he claims he's going to use him at the goal line, and this is a bet on the 49ers offense, is what I'm doing.
I could definitely see that. Like, Tex, who do you have between Tevin Coleman and Lamar Miller? Because I think Houston's offense is better, but they just traded for Duke Johnson. I think the situation's better for Coleman.
I have Lamar Miller one spot higher, so it's not like a crazy difference, but I'd take Miller.
And I've got Mark Ingram below Tevin Coleman as well, just because I think it's more likely that Mark Ingram will lose his job than Tevin Coleman. I mean, Mark Ingram's 30 years old. He was propped up by the Saints offense, and maybe he'll be good because it's a good situation in Baltimore, but Justice Hill's there, guys, so... I'm just more confident in Tevin Coleman. Philip Lindsay's holding off Royce Freeman, so I wouldn't mind getting Tevin Coleman. 21 is a little steep for me, but I totally understand at that point in your draft getting your guy. I've got Latavius Murray at 21, so who am I to talk? I'm getting my guy there in the sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tags, who else has been moving up your board at the running back position?
I mean, it's pretty static because we haven't seen much in the preseason in terms of moving up anymore. Obviously, Rashad Penny is someone that's moved down my board quite a bit. And I guess I should...
What about Darius Geis with what he did in the preseason?
There's one player that I could say recently, just because, like, obviously last night, Darius Geis, I put him past Adrian Peterson because Peterson has been talking about rushing for 2,000 yards, this and that. it is what it is. But here's the thing. I cannot put Geis too high because Adrian Peterson still is on the roster. Chris Thompson is still on the roster.
Adrian Peterson looks good, by the way, too. Really good.
I mean, that's the thing. Peterson is just like, he's a freak.
Fifth most carries in the NFL last year is 38 or 9 or 48 or something. Yeah. No, what is he really, like 36th? Fifth most carries? That's crazy.
It's nuts. I mean, that's why it's like Geis. I don't want Geis as a starter. It's like, if I get him as an RB4, like, I'm happy about that because I can, hopefully it turns into something. But again, how much do we really expect out of the Washington offense? Like, they're going to be terrible, guys. Like, that team is not good.
We would have drafted him top 20 last year had he been the starter, and the offense is a little bit worse, but it's the same kind of thing, as far as I'm concerned, as Josh Jacobs. If we knew Darius Geis was the starter, he would be about the same as Josh Jacobs, but we don't know if he's the starter, so I've got him RB37. That means I'll probably be getting some shares.
Well, losing Trent Taylor, because Trent Taylor's not going to play for the Redskins anymore, is not good. That's real bad. And then going from Alex Smith to Colt McCoy, I mean, that's also not good.
Colt McCoy's hurt. It's Case Keenum now.
You're right. I know they're saying that he's not going to be ready for week 1, but that it's an ugly situation and not one I want to time. That's why I'm not going to own any Josh Jacobs. I'm going to take David Montgomery over him. I'll take Sony Michel over him. I won't own any Jacobs.
The other guy moving up my board, I think he's actually got some standalone value as a running back 4 that you can use in the flex if anybody gets hurt or during bye weeks, and he's got substantial upside. It's Chase Edmonds. It's not that I love the player Chase Edmonds. It's that I love Cliff Kingsbury coming in there running 72 snaps per game. That's essentially, it comes out to an extra 4 games worth of snaps compared to what the Cardinals did last year when they were 31st in football. So I think even if David Johnson gets a lot of touches, Chase Edmonds is going to get a lot of touches. And just imagine if David Johnson got hurt and Chase Edmonds is falling to 20 touches a game.
Yeah, I'm a buyer. The offense is going to be quick. You said it. I have Christian Kirk ranked aggressively, and Edmonds is a nice sneaky call.
All right, guys, let's go wide receiver. Dalton, we'll start with you. Somebody that's been moving up your draft board.
All right. Well, Josh Gordon's such an obvious one just because of the situation. So let's...
Where do you have him, by the way?
Man, I don't do it as aggressively as... I love Josh Gordon, and I love the situation, but... I think I have him lower because I've been burned so many times in the past, but 32 right now.
Okay. I've got him right in that Calvin Ridley, Allen Robinson, Corey Davis, AJ Green territory. Tags, where do you have him?
Yeah, Josh Gordon is, to me, you have to weigh it in. Like, I have him in the tier with guys like Mike Williams, AJ Green is in that tier just because of injuries, but Ridley, Galladay.
So like 6th, 7th round?
If you told me you wanted, yeah, that's probably about fair. If you told me you wanted to draft Josh Gordon over Galladay, I would not fault you for it. Like, I really wouldn't, because again, Galladay is going to battle with Marvin Jones still. That offense isn't great. Danny Amendola, whether they like it or not, he's going to have a role in that offense. I'm not going to say he's going to put up Golden Tate numbers, but he's going to see targets. Whereas Josh Gordon plays for the Patriots, and they really don't have any other wide receivers outside of Julian Edelman, who's just been there forever. Gordon was targeted a lot last year. He didn't do a whole lot with those targets. Like, he was okay.
What do you mean? He was on track for 1,200 receiving yards in the 8 games he played at least 50% of the snaps.
He was not very good. He was not very good in terms of, like he was an average player. Like, he was a wide receiver 3 more often than he was a wide receiver 1. Like, wide receiver 1 performances almost didn't exist with Josh Gordon last year. But the targets were there. He was getting a target share. Tom Brady was willing to throw into tight coverage with Josh Gordon, whereas he doesn't do that with a lot of other players. So that's the tier I have him in. But understand that if you draft him, he comes with risk. Like, he could be a guy that literally everything's going well, and then all of a sudden you hear Josh Gordon's out of the league again, and you're like, well, that sucks. So I don't know. He's a really tough one. I have him at wide receiver 29 right now.
Okay. Yeah, I've got him 26. Now, Dalton, I'm sorry. Who was the wide receiver you've got moving up?
Sure. We'll go with Dante Moncrief. The Steelers lost 200-plus targets when Antonio Brown and Jesse James left. And people like James Washington. I get the pedigree, but he was just so, so bad as a rookie. And yes, Juju's hyped him up. But Moncrief had some interesting air yards numbers in a dire Jacksonville situation last year. I know he's disappointed before with Andrew Luck and all that, but I don't know, situation there, that team threw the football more than any other in Pittsburgh last year. So Moncrief, I think he slides in right there in the number two. So he's been definitely moving up my board.
I think he can make some noise in the red zone as well. I haven't ended up with many shares of Dante Moncrief because I'm usually getting Golden Tate in that area. But yeah, Moncrief is a solid wide receiver four in my mind. Tags, who do you have moving up?
Okay, so I should say Curtis Samuel is someone that I've moved up quite a bit as the offseason's gone on. Like, I buy into the hype because there's a lot of people talking about him, saying like he's flashing everywhere.
Me too.
So Curtis Samuel is someone who's moved up my draft board to the point where it's like, if you want to draft him over, say, like a Robbie Anderson, I wouldn't fault you for it.
Do you have him ahead of DJ Moore yet?
I do not. I won't do that because Moore is the more prototypical number one receiver. Like, he could do a lot after the catch as well. They could use him in different ways on carries. But another player, I'll mention at the wide receiver position moving up, is Sammy Watkins. He's healthy. And, you know, when do we find a wide receiver, you know, tied to Patrick friggin' Mahomes outside the top 30 who was drafted in the first round and has flashed at times, by the way. And he's been a top 20 receiver before. We just forget about him. Like, before he got hurt last year, he was doing well in that offense. Like, he was a guy that people were relying on as wide receiver three, putting up wide receiver two numbers at times. I don't know why people hate him anymore. Like, he's going, like, in the territory you're getting him, it's like, Will Fuller, is he a sure thing? No. Marvin Jones, no. Dante Pettis, no. Larry Fitzgerald lacks upside. Robbie Anderson, no. Like, I would take Sammy Watkins far and away ahead of Robbie Anderson. It's not even really all that close for me.
You know, it's interesting. He was a top 20 wide receiver with Tyrod Taylor as his quarterback, and he did it in only 13 games. Now, he does have the upside, but man, he can't stay on the field. I don't know. It makes me nervous. I wouldn't mind getting him as my wide receiver four, but he's going a little too high for me. Dalton, how do you feel about Watkins?
Actually, I had him on my list for down, actually. Oh, man. I don't get the Watkins.
Is it because of Hardman?
I just don't get it. I know you want to be tied to the Kansas City League best offense, but he hasn't reached 600 yards since 2015. The ship has sailed, dude. The ship has sailed, and there's a ready replacement, even if Tyreek Hill. I think what happened is people bumped Watkins way up their boards when they thought Hill was going to be suspended. Then Hill returned, and they forgot that what it's like. And I don't know. If Hill got hurt, I'd see Hardman replacing him. So, no, Watkins is, I mean, man. Then again, we definitely see totally differently here because I like Will Fuller and I like, you know, the upside there with his injury risk. So.
I see the upside, but I'm saying he's no sure thing. Like, and he's going on average of 12 picks before, so a full round before Sammy Watkins. So I understand the Fuller. I've been on board as Fuller as your wide receiver three. I'm fine with that. But Watkins is just falling too far. Like, Dante Pettis shouldn't be in that conversation.
Watkins, I disagree. I'm taking Pettis over Watkins all day. Watkins played 70% of the snaps last year for the Chiefs when he was healthy. And he only had, you know, 55 targets in 10 games. I don't really know why that would change. Now, granted, he only had 3 touchdowns, so of course it makes sense that he finished as a wide receiver 63, and he's probably going to play more than 10 games this year. But he hasn't been the epitome of health. And they didn't use him last year. I don't know if that changes now that they add Hardman.
I don't like Hardman. I don't think Hardman's a good football player. Like, that's just me. That's why I'm not worried about, like, Sammy Watkins at all. Like, he's the number two receiver in that offense. And if they'd gotten Paris Campbell, I would have been really concerned because Campbell's actually, like, a threat.
Great call.
But he's like the fourth option, though. He might be the number two receiver, but he's the fourth option is the problem.
But do we know that, though? Like, because, like, so Kareem Hunt last year when he was in the offense, like, he wasn't targeted as much as people think. He was just very, very stupid efficient. He scored touchdowns at an alarming rate. His yardage, like, yards per target was stupid for a running back. Like, there was some things there that definitely cannot keep up for the running back position. So it's like between Travis Kelce, like, in the running backs, it's like I think they're capped there where it's like those targets like stay to themselves and then the wide receivers get theirs. So I guess when Watkins was on the field, even if he gets 6 targets per game from Patrick Mahomes, I think those are 6 very worthwhile targets. And it's kind of like that Will Fuller scenario where you don't want to rely on him. Like, you don't want to say, oh, I fully trust Sammy Watkins, but putting him in as a wide receiver three, if you have 2 stable wide receivers, you'll live with the ups and downs of Sammy Watkins.
All right, guys, I'm giving my first wide receiver in just a minute, but first I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Sideboss. Fantasy football fans, listen up. Sideboss is offering a free-to-play, season-long NFL handicapping contest with $50,000 in cash prizes. You can pick 5 games per week for 17 weeks and earn your title as the boss with a $15,000 grand prize. Sideboss is going to be awarding quarterly and weekly prizes throughout the season. Any week in the NFL season, you can go 5-0 and win some dough. If you haven't participated in a handicapping contest before, now's your chance to be rewarded and earn the title of Donkey Boss with a last place prize of $1,000. In addition to their free-to-play pick'em contest, Sideboss is going to be offering pay-to-play games throughout the season. Go to sideboss.com, click to play the 2019 Pro Football Pick'em Contest, and enter promo code FANTASYPROS upon signup. That's sideboss.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. I'm actually going to go to Mike Williams now, and you guys are going to be shocked at how high I've got Mike Williams. Earlier in the month, I had him around that 26-27 range with Calvin Ridley, Allen Robinson. I actually had him behind both those guys. He was more in the DJ Moore, Christian Kirk type of territory. I've got him up as my wide receiver 19 at this point. Keenan Allen has been hurt in the past several times. He's already hurt going into the season. I'm worried this is going to be the kind of thing that lingers. And regardless, I mean, Tags, you've talked about it before, how he could just be the next Dez Bryant, where he's just catching so many touchdowns. You can look at his 11 touchdowns last year on 66 targets and say, that's unsustainable. Yeah, the rate's unsustainable, but if he gets 110 targets this year, he can get double-digit touchdowns again. I have little concern about that, even when Hunter Henry's there. Mike Williams is an absolute red zone machine. He's got the body for it. He's got the athletic profile for it. And I think that he's going to be able to take advantage of Keenan Allen's injury early on.
I love Mike Williams.
Williams is great. I agree. I haven't ranked aggressively. I'm right there with you.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, last year he was wide receiver 24. And like I mentioned, 66 targets. That number is going up. Tags, what would you put the over-under on his targets at?
I think the fair, I mean, I'm someone who's anticipating him getting close to 100 targets. So I think the fair over-under for targets would be around 90.
All right, let's get one more wide receiver who's been moving up your board. Then we'll go on the opposite end here, Dalton.
Okay, so I'm with you with Samuel. I talked about Gordon and Moncrief. So let's go MVS. I've been ending up with a lot of Valdez Scantling on my team. I know Allison is a nice PPR guy there, but I'm a buyer in him emerging in that outside there. I think he created the third best separation rate or whatever last season. So I'm a buyer in MVS.
I don't have any problem with that at all. I don't think he's the number two. I think it's Geronimo Allison, but why not own 3 Green Bay Packers wide receivers? They're all going to be useful. And he's got upside. Like, if anything happens to Adams, I think MVS could be a borderline wide receiver 1 in this offense.
Yep, absolutely. Totally agree with you. Yeah, I mean, Allison's a nice, he's a slot guy, so he'll help you in the PPR more. But I mean, Valdez-Scantling definitely has more upside and more touchdown, and the guy's going to make the play downfield.
So, Tags, I've got Allison, wide receiver 34, just ahead of Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry. I've got Valdez-Scantling 41, just behind Larry Fitzgerald and in between Anthony Miller and Robbie Anderson. Where do you have these guys?
Yeah, so I have Marquez Valdez-Scantling at wide receiver 44.
Okay, so you're still probably getting shares of him.
You want? I mean, I'm getting Geronimo Allison, so I'm probably not drafting both of them. Like, cause I have Allison at wide receiver 40. So, but I think that one of them is going to live up to like beyond expectations, and it's like the one might just live up to his draft position, and that's fine because Aaron Rodgers can support 3 top 50 wide receivers. He's done it before. The question is like, what does MVS do when he goes to the perimeter? Does that hurt? Because a lot of receivers, they do see, you know, a negative impact when they have to play more snaps in the perimeter, which is why everybody's worried about Sterling Shepard this year when Golden Tate comes back, is because he hasn't been a guy that's performed very well in the perimeter. Whereas Geronimo Allison has been able to get it done, has chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, is now playing in the slot, is like a big slot receiver who's going to face a lot of nickel cornerbacks. So Allison is the one that I want. MVS, I'm not avoiding by any means. Like, I think that he's a fine pick, and he might turn into what I think Allison might be. It's very possible. It's just tying yourself to that offense and knowing he has massive upside if there's an injury in front of him on the depth chart, like to Davante Adams, where it's like, yes, MVS would be a minimum wide receiver 2 every single week.
All right, Tags, give us another wide receiver who's moving up your board, and don't take mine.
So mine, man, it's crazy to admit that I'm coming full circle here. It's Emmanuel Sanders.
That is so funny to me. He was an absolute, I wouldn't draft him if he dropped to the 30th round for you.
Correct. Yeah, we heard that, oh, he's progressing from his Achilles and, you know, he might be ready by week 1. And then it's like he's playing in preseason, be handed end of rounds. And it's like, what the hell is happening here? Like, this dude is 32 years old, like 33 maybe. He's old, and he's coming back from an Achilles, something nobody has done. I'm not saying that I'm going to draft Emmanuel Sanders as a top 30 or even top 40 wide receiver, but he's moved up my board an awful lot. And if you want to take him in front of guys like Michael Gallup or DeSean Jackson, I guess you can do that. I mean,
he might look good, but when he plays, I'm sure he will be good. But I'll tell you what, I'm someone who tore his Achilles tendon last year. And I did all the physical therapy to recover and everything. I was helping my brother-in-law move the other day, and it hurts like heck. It hurts so bad. Achilles tendon injuries.
How long's it been?
It's been about a year for me. So a little bit longer than Emmanuel Sanders. And I'll just tell you, I mean, these injuries have a much higher risk for re-injury. And so you can be running great and look good, and it will just be done again. It happens so often. So I'm worried that Sanders will get re-injured. But you know what? Sure, I'll play him as my flex guy while he's on the field.
So what does this do to you guys with Deshaun Hamilton? Is he like a full, like you don't even touch him in the draft?
There's no upside. I mean, he's a wide receiver six that you could use in bye weeks. The kind of guy you pick up in the middle of the season when you need someone, but I'm not drafting him.
Well, if Emmanuel Sanders is playing, like, Deshaun Hamilton doesn't have a role.
Exactly.
Okay, guys, the other wide receiver that's moved up for me, and I never thought I'd say this because I'm an anti-guys who just tore their ACL person, but Cooper Kupp, everything looks good. He looks awesome. All the reports sound awesome, and I'll be fine. I'll be glad to take the guy in the fifth, sixth round who was the wide receiver number two when he got hurt last year. He's got a lot of upside, and yeah, there's a little bit of risk, but there's risk with Mike Evans, Alshon Jeffrey, Julian Edelman, Corey Davis, Calvin Ridley, all guys that I have in that range too, so... sign me up for a Cooper Kupp. I guess I'm on board.
Bobby coming around on the ACL, guys.
I'm not coming around on Will Fuller. Will Fuller's not playing week one, guys.
What about the reports that the Rams running a lot more two tight end and less 11 personnel, therefore the three wide receiver sets?
Yuck.
That would be very ugly.
That would suck so bad.
Because Kupp's coming off the field.
Yeah.
You think so?
If that happens, yeah. Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks are going to be on the field over him.
I don't know, man. I think he was their wide receiver one last year when he played.
It's because of his role, though, in the offense, where it's like, it makes little sense that they'd go to like more 12 personnel and they would like literally take Cooper Kupp off the field to put on like Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee. But they have to change things up a little bit, because obviously towards the end of the year last year, when they didn't have Kupp in the lineup, Jared Goff was not very good.
Kupp played 83% of the Rams snaps last year. That's more than Julio Jones played. It's more than AJ Green, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen played. He never came off the field.
No, that's what I'm saying. They were always three wide, dude.
Yeah. Man, that's rough if that's true. Okay, let's move on to wide receivers that have moved down, and then we'll touch on quarterback, tight end really quick to end the show. Dalton, who do you have that's moved down your wide receiver rankings in the past month?
All right, so I really did actually have Sammy Watkins as one of my two here. But I'll move on and say Antonio Brown. I mean, I like watching Hard Knocks, and I live about an hour from Oakland Stadium. But, man, it's one thing after another. I mean, it's not just the frostbitten feet, but now the helmet issue. I know it's unclear if he wants to play football, you know? I mean, he sat out week 17 last year, so I don't know, man. He had the lowest yards per target since, like, 2012, and now he's going from Ben Roethlisberger to Carr. So no thanks, Antonio Brown. His price, he'll be on none of my teams.
We've probably mentioned Antonio Brown getting frostbite on his feet six or seven times since it happened. I cannot help but laugh every single time. It is the most hilarious thing I've ever heard in football injuries.
It's an honest mistake, Bobby.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
It is rough. Tags, who's moved down your board?
Kiki QT, your dude. He's still not practicing. He's still not back with the team. So it's like, I don't know how bad this ankle injury is. And I was already worried that it's like he's the number three option on the team. Like, he's not – like, Will Fuller has, like, better target. Like, he may not receive as many targets, but his targets are worth more. Whereas QT, you add in Duke Johnson to that offense, and it's like suddenly you have another guy that can take some targets from the slot, or, you know, even the intermediate areas of the field, which is where QT was targeted a lot last year. So – he's someone that's moved down a bit for me. I'm not going to say he's like a terrible pick, like outside the top 45 wide receivers, top 50.
So wait, where do you have him then? Because we might be about the same. I've got him wide receiver 41.
I have him 49.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm probably not going to get a ton of shares just because that's Anthony Miller, Geronimo Allison range. But yeah, I'd be fine with QT if he's my wide receiver 5.
You see, I have Anthony Miller up at 40, wide receiver 42, and I have Allison at number 40. So yeah, those guys are well ahead of him for me.
Okay. Dalton, what do you think about QT?
Yeah, he was fun for the brief period he was healthy last year. A lot of targets out of the slot. But yeah, I know you mentioned, I mean, not only the other, I mean, just the health concern, the human hamstring pull, now dealing with an ankle injury. So yeah, I've been moving him down as well.
Yeah, I probably won't get too many shares. The guy that I've been moving down my board is Amari Cooper, and it really just comes down to what I've talked about with plantar fasciitis. By the way, if you guys haven't noticed, I get a lot of injuries. So I dealt with plantar fasciitis, and man, it's the worst. I would rather get kicked square in the nuts 3 times in a row than have plantar fasciitis. I can't possibly imagine playing with this injury. And Amari Cooper's like, I've played through it 2 years of my career. He's like, my sophomore year in college and my rookie season. You guys go look at his stats his sophomore year in college and his rookie season. He was substantially worse. I mean, I understand Amari Cooper has a lot of upside, but he just hasn't gotten his done. He's been wide receiver 25, 12, 31, 19. You guys are drafting him at his ceiling, in my opinion. I understand he was better with the Cowboys offense, but with this injury, I don't think it's happening, guys. I've got him wide receiver 17.
Plantar fasciitis can come and go. It's a thing that might not affect him at all 1 week, and then like literally the next week it could flare up and like be an issue.
And he's a late scratch, and you're starting him, and you're sitting at church, and you're like, wait a second, Amari Cooper's not playing, and then you're screwed.
That's a real thing, and it's like, so if you do grab Cooper, I mean, you don't necessarily need to do wide receiver handcuffs, but Michael Gallup is looking better and better by the day, where it's like he's someone that I would probably draft over Kiki QT right now.
Well, that's the thing. What if Gallup actually is good? You know what I mean?
He is good, yeah.
Demand some targets because he has flashed this preseason. That's actually been my big, I mean, certainly not underrating the foot thing, but that has been another concern you can tack on too. What if Gallup demands a target share?
Gallup's a good football player too. I like that call. Okay, guys, let's move on to quarterback and tight end. And what I'm going to ask you for, Dalton, is just the one player from either position that's moved up or down your board the most.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm falling for Lamar Jackson. I've just moved him up, man. The guy set a record for fantasy points per dropback, and the community's not even treated him as a top 15 call. I mean, what are you doing? Just go with the upside. Maybe he has improved as a passer. Mark Andrews, another up for me on tight end, looks like legit. So give me all the Lamar Jackson.
You know, he's actually a really good passer, too. He just didn't throw the ball that much. I'm excited to see what they do if...
Who was a really good passer? Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson was extremely efficient as a passer last year.
No, he wasn't. Lamar Jackson is...
Oh, absolutely he was, man.
He is not a good passer. Zal, can you back me up on this one?
Well, they probably set him up in hitter's counts and he'd throw into wide open guy. It did. That offense did create the best separation between the receivers. So he didn't have to be accurate. You know, yeah.
That's because of the threat of his running the ball. If they're like trying to spy on him and make sure he's not running the ball, people are going to be open. And he doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers to be a great passer, Tags.
If Lamar Jackson was a good passer, he would be the cheat code because like the dude can run like...
He might be the cheat code.
He's like a Michael Vick in terms of like as a runner, but he is not even close to the passer. So it's like, that's why Lamar Jackson to me, like I like him a lot and I'm willing to trot him out there as my starter in fantasy football. However, I do not believe that he has like... number one upside just because of how much he lacks in the passing department.
Yeah, he doesn't have Mahomes season in him. That's true. Like that is true.
Oh, well, yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's in the realm of possibilities. He finishes as a top five fantasy quarterback and someone you can start every week. I saw a stat. I don't remember who posted this, but it was amazing. A stat that Lamar Jackson in his lowest fantasy points per game, his absolute floor was like 15 fantasy points. That's incredible.
Yeah, I think that was Scott Barrett, PFF. I think I saw that too. Yeah, it was.
You're right. It was Scott Barrett. You're absolutely right.
So Lamar Jackson, when he started last year, like granted, he walked into an offense like they weren't prepared to do anything, but he did have a lot of rushing, and that's worth more than pass attempts, obviously. But Jackson, he like continually gave you that floor, but he didn't give you that top five upside. He had no ceiling last year, which is really odd for a mobile quarterback because we saw it with Josh Allen. It's not to say that he can't. Like, and I do believe Lamar Jackson is going to spike certain weeks, and he's going to have those. He gives you a solid floor, and that's why I'm willing to draft him. I'm just like, I just wanted to make sure I challenged Bobby on the whole.
Well, I mean, I understand that he's not a talented passer. He was an efficient passer last year. Tags, he threw the ball 22 times per game. The Ravens ran the ball 45 times per start that Lamar Jackson had under center. The next most in the NFL was 33. That number is coming down to 35. He's going to throw an additional 8-9 passes per game this year. He's going to be sitting at 30 pass attempts when last year he was at 22.
Greg Roman did with Kaepernick, perfect offensive coordinator to have for a running dual threat quarterback like this.
So that's also nice, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just think he's going to throw the ball more, and he's going to be a very solid rusher as well. I like this pick, Dalton. Tags, who do you have moving up or down at one of these two positions?
I have Lamar Jackson moving down. I'm totally kidding.
I deserve it, man. In fairness, I deserve it.
No, yeah. I mean, a player that moved up for me is Tom Brady a little bit. He was someone I wasn't even willing to draft as like one of the – I didn't think he was one of the draftable quarterbacks, but getting Josh Gordon back to the offense is going to raise him up my board. Knowing that Sony Michel's healthy, the offense should just be better. Like in terms like Edelman's back with the team, like everybody seems healthy going into the start of the year, and you know that is going to be, you know, one of the better offenses, because it always is. They game plan better than everybody, so it's like Brady has moved up my board as someone where it's like if you want to walk in with him as a starter, that's fine. But again, Bobby, we've talked about this. He's like being drafted as a top 12 quarterback. That is not what I'm saying. Like I'm saying, like if there's 17 quarterbacks off the board and you're choosing between Brady and Roethlisberger, I'd probably go with Brady.
Man, it's absolutely nuts. You look at these quarterbacks. There are, if you go back 5 years and you move any of these quarterbacks in their situation back to 5 years ago, Josh Allen's a top 12 fantasy quarterback. Tom Brady's a top 12 fantasy quarterback. But there's 21 of them now, guys. Like, Tags, who do you have ranked 19, 20, 21? Whoever it is, I feel like an absolute jerk for doing it.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's how I feel about the quarterback position. So I did a tier, and it's like basically once you get like outside like the top 9, maybe even 8 quarterbacks, I feel like there's a tier of like 12 quarterbacks that I could like literally be okay with.
Interchangeable, absolutely the same.
And I think the cutoff for me is like, I actually might be willing to go down to 23. It's like you have Jimmy Garoppolo and Matthew Stafford there, and it's like I'm not excited about those guys, but I'm saying like as a streamer, like if you want to use them, like Stafford matchup in week 1 against Arizona is phenomenal. That game's indoors. Arizona's going to be without Patrick Peterson, so it's like if you're playing the streaming approach, Matthew Stafford's going to be one of those guys that you could start week 1.
Yeah, I'm with you on Brady, by the way. I think his YPA rose like 2 full yards with Josh Gordon on the field last year. It's a big help there. And I think the bottom line is what this all means is more leagues should be doing the super flex, man. It just really, this really should. Quarterback is an embarrassment of riches, and just to preach patience on it just becomes exhausting, and it's to the point of just so obvious, you know?
Dalton, who's in charge of that at Yahoo? Like, who do we need to talk to say, hey, can we just make super flex the standard across the industry?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'll get on that, because if you guys agree, it certainly seems that way, that it should become the absolute standard moving forward. I feel like in a couple years from now, we'll look back and see, this will just seem archaic.
Yeah, it's just kind of bizarre that it's the most important position in all of sports, and yet you don't need to draft Drew Brees until the 14th round in an analyst league because the math just doesn't play out. Tom Brady shouldn't be drafted in one of those leagues. And yet here he is. He's one of the best players in sports to this day. It's just wild to me. And here we are drafting kickers. It would be awesome if we could just get rid of kickers, add a super flex. I know Andy would never go for that, but maybe we can get you guys to add a super flex. That'd be sweet.
He's all about that kicker life.
Andy loves kickers, doesn't he?
I know. What is his deal? I don't get that, but yeah, I'll leave him on his island on that one. But yeah, no, not only does it make it more fun to draft players, but you just really hit the nail on the head too. How about making the most important position in all of sports actually matter in our game?
Right. And you know, if we increase the passing touchdowns to 6 points and interceptions to -4, then you know what? If we're playing in a 2-quarterback league or a super flex, Patrick Mahomes is a top 3 fantasy pick. Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, they both go in the first round where they belong. I think that's how it should be. It should reflect real life a little bit better. Now, I've got the last player for today's episode. I've been moving Austin Hooper up and up and up my tight end rankings. He finished as tight end number 7 last year with over 80 receptions. He's now my tight end 8 over Jared Cook, Eric Ebron, the injured Trey Burton, the injured Vance McDonald. If I don't get Hunter Henry in the 5th round or Travis Kelce in the 2nd, it's Hooper or bust for me. Hooper or I'm going streamer.
Hooper's fine. He actually moved up for me too, because it's basically because I've moved Vance McDonald down and I don't like Jared Cook in New Orleans. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like him, but I don't like him nearly as much as everybody else does, because he's being taken as the 7th tight end and Jared Cook is more like a back end, like totally back end tight end 1 for me.
Mm-hmm. Hooper tied for 7th among all receivers at targets inside the 10 last year, and was top 10 at targets inside the 5. I'm talking receivers, not just tight ends. So I think that he gets all those 2-point conversions. I think the touchdown equity there is really underrated. It could explode.
His schedule looks disastrous at the start of the season, though, at Minnesota, and then he's got Philly, Indy, and Tennessee. Those are 3 of the of the five most difficult defenses to go up against for a tight end. And I get it, it changes from year to year, but I would imagine Hooper's going to start the season slow. Everyone's going to cut him. And then the second half, he's going to be a monster.
I'll counter that and say outside of week 17, we don't play fantasy. Atlanta plays just two games outdoors all season. So that is so good for Ryan and company.
That's a plus for Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Man, that is awesome. That's a great stat. All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Dalton, as always, it was a pleasure having you on. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks, guys. I had a lot of fun.
All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Sideboss. You can go to sideboss.com, use the promo code FANTASYPROS, and click to play the 2019 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. And also thanks to Hooters. You can set up your draft party at Hooters by going to fantasypros.com/Hooters and take advantage of all the incentives they're offering you guys. And then finally, if you want to play some best ball, check out Draft. You can go to draft.com or download Draft in the app or Play Store, and you can get your free shot at $1 million just by using my promo code, FANTASYPROS, all one word. And finally, don't forget to check out our Chrome extension. It is absolutely amazing. And again, if you want to take advantage of those premium offers, you can sign up for a $65 value. It's a 6-month Hall of Fame package at fantasypros.com/offers. All you have to do is deposit $10 to one of our DFS partners. And again, you can win money with that. So it's basically free. For Dalton Del Don and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.